Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
I legit did not sleep last night until like 1:30 is usually, you know, now you get older, I'm up earlier in the morning. I usually go to bed. I can't stay awake. 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'm shot. Last night, I could not go to sleep because of the damn Rangers. Now, to help me further break down the Rangers season and look ahead to maybe what will be, I bring in Doug Savchek, who we've had on The Fan before, and he is a producer, longtime producer for NBC and used to produce Mike's show. It's Mic'd Up, right? Not Mike's on.
It was Mic'd Up.
But more important, and he's a current producer at SNY. More importantly, and I mean this with all my heart, there is nobody's opinion I trust more about the New York Rangers than Doug Savchek. Doug, you were there. You had season. How long have you had season tickets?
37 years, Sal.
37 years. And we all know how many Stanley Cups you've seen in those 37 years.
That's correct, Sal.
But you were there in 94, every step of the way.
Yep.
You and I have talked a lot about this season and trying to recover from last season, you know, being up 2-0 to the Devils and then losing that one, a long road back. They win the President's Trophy. First, your initial reaction to this team really not doing anything against Florida in Game 6.
Yeah, you know, Sal, like last night was a long night. You know, after the game, I just couldn't – I was just depressed. I couldn't fall asleep. I woke up this morning and just all day it's just been miserable, to be honest with you. Up until now, of course.
Yeah, right.
With you. I think that I'm a realist, right? I think they just – these last couple of games especially – they really just got outplayed by a better, more determined team. And I think that showed in Game 6. You know, there was never, you know, outside of, you know, after Panarin scored to make it 2-1 and you're thinking, oh my God, could they do this? Could they actually get another goal here? It just seems, Sal, that they were just... they just didn't have that extra gear to get to, especially in Game 6. And this one stings, Sal. This hurts. Because as you said, right, like great year, President's Trophy, a record, you know, regular season for the franchise, everything that went right. And this one hurts. This hurts a lot. I'm not going to lie. Like, been a season ticket holder a long time, been a fan, obviously, even longer. This is right up there with disappointing endings of our seasons.
And here's why I feel that way as well, because I thought it was different, because this has been building up for years. They brought in new pieces. They brought in the different head coach. They swept a first-round series. Oh, my God, hallelujah. So once they did that, I'm starting to think, man, this is different. And then beating Carolina – the way that they did.
Yep.
And I hesitate to even say, well, obviously I give Florida credit, and I definitely think they were the more determined team in this series. I hesitate to say that they were the better team overall. Forget just the series. Yes, I understand it. But I'm talking about a better team because when I watched the Cup Final in 13-14, I saw the Kings were clearly the better team. There was nothing the Rangers could do about it. The Kings were far superior. I did not get that feeling in this series. Were they actually better? Are the Rangers just soft? Is it a scheme? Why did the Panthers beat the Rangers?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think that the Panthers are built for this. I also think that the Panthers, you know, tasted what this was all about last year. You know, the old adage is you have to lose before you win, right? I think some of the Panthers' mojo is based off of that. I do think the Panthers' size wore the Rangers down as the series went along. I think that that was apparent. I think that then the other part of that is, and this is unfortunate, and this is where really this becomes a very long and interesting summer. The guys that we relied on, right, are our top guys, they simply didn't show up in this series. You know better than anybody, your best players need to be your best players. And for as great as, you know, the Barclay Goudreaux were and, you know, Vinny Trocheck, et cetera, this comes back to the same guys that it's come back to now for a few years. It's Mika, it's Panarin, Kreider. You know, Kreider, as much as we love him, and 5-on-5, he was invisible 5-on-5. You know, our best players were simply dominated by the Panthers. And outside of Igor, right? I mean, they should put Igor's jersey up now, hang it up in the rafters now, right?
Yeah, and that's what pisses me off even more, Doug, because when you waste that type of performance, it's infuriating. The hot goaltender, have the best goaltender. Well, they do, and they still can't win.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Sal, is I thought about this today. So you go back 2 years to 2022 when they lost to the Lightning, right? And that was a magical run. Like, none of us expected that team.
They ran out of gas.
Yeah, they ran out of gas. But then after that series was over, it was, okay, they don't have the size or skill to match up with Tampa Bay. Okay. Then you fast forward a year. You go to last year, right? And after that series ended, it was, okay, well, they don't have the speed to match up with the Devils' speed. That was the whole thing last year. And now we are here again. Now we're back to the size and the skill. And it's like, when are we going to get over this hump? When are we going to be that team that has all of those pieces? And this one, you know, Sal, is just a little bit of a head scratcher. Because like you said, you know, you can't blame it on being tired because you swept the first round.
Right.
Right. The Carolina series, yes, games 4 and 5 were stressful, but they came through on the road in game 6 and you're feeling good. Then they had the rest before the Eastern Conference Finals started, so you feel good. But I really think as this series went along, they just got worn down.
So now here's my question, because you're right about the Stars, and I'm so most disappointed probably in Kreider, because I expected more from him, especially off of Carolina. Like, I didn't really – it's sad, but I didn't really expect Panarin to be a big factor. And I'm disappointed in Zibanejad too. But how does this change? Because I really do believe the Rangers have more talent from top to bottom. They're also deep. They also can be physical. But their best players aren't physical postseason players. That is now proven. This group is not going to get over the hump. So now what? How do you fix it? Do you change scheme? Do you move stars? How are they going to fix this?
I think so. Now this falls upon Chris Drury, right? So without you and I breaking down an entire roster, which no one wants us to hear, the bottom line is that for the most part, this roster is made up of the Jeff Gorton, John Davidson regime for the most part. Okay, outside of Vinny Trocheck, who, you know, the Rangers signed a couple of years ago, a lot of these pieces and players are players that Drury inherited, right? And with that, unfortunately, come contracts that I don't know if you can move them. Most of these big contracts, these guys have no trade, no movement clauses. Panarin, 2 years, with a no move. Mika's got 6 years with no move. Kreider's got three. Truba's got two. You know, like this now falls on Chris Drury. You know, this is Chris Drury's summer of decision, if you ask me, on where this franchise is going from here. This falls on him. And let's face facts, Sal. You know, hindsight is 2020. The trade deadlines here of the last 2 years, where Drury had a chance to do something, they've been epic fails. 2 years, you know, last year it was Kane and Tarasenko. We know how that worked. This year did not go big game hunting. Instead went for Jack Roslovic and Alex Wenberg. And outside of the OT goal that Wenberg scored in game three against Florida, those two guys really did not produce.
But aren't those guys, Doug, aren't those guys kind of complementary pieces?
Yes, yes.
So the problem is not that they didn't have those guys. The problem is that they need those guys to be their top players.
Players
to play like that.
But here's the thing. And again, I hate doing this because – but this is our only point of reference, right? In 1994, Mike Keenan went to Neil Smith and said, if we're going to make a deep, deep run here, we need to reconstruct this roster. We need bigger, more physical players, right? And again, I know we hate doing this, and it's always 1994, but we don't have anything else to fall back on. The reality is, it worked. In 94, they moved out players like Mike Gartner, like Darren Turcotte, players that Keenan perceived to be quote-unquote soft, right? Right or wrong? Not for me to
good
judge.
Skill players.
Right. And they brought in guys with grit. They brought in the Steve Larmers. They brought in the Matos, the Brian Noonans, Glenn Anderson, etc. Right?
McTavish. Yeah. They built a championship team, a Stanley Cup team.
And those guys were grit guys. Those guys were the sandpaper guys.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That is what this team is sorely lacking. It really is, Sal. When you watch this past series and you see it, it just becomes evident again. And to me, that's Drury has to make this team bigger, stronger, tougher, whatever the word is you want to use. You need to do that. And again, to go back to your original question, how do you do it? He's got to be creative here, Sal. And there's going to be moves here that, you know, does he try to move Jacob Trouba, a captain, right? Who, by the way, Trouba was not good in this series.
I'm tired of Trouba. I know he's tough and he's a good guy.
Would he dare entertain trying to move a Chris Kreider? Because Kreider would get you a return. Kreider would get you pieces back, right?
Kreider's so damn infuriating. You're the first one to tell me that his number 20 was going to be hung to the rafters. Yeah. Then he goes out and has the hat trick in Carolina, and everybody's saying his number's going to be hung to the rafters. Now I call him Rafters Boy because you don't get your numbers. You can't get your number hung up when you're invisible, bro. Come on.
5-on-5, he's been invisible. He's a great power play in front of the net presence.
Yes.
No question.
One of the best I've ever seen.
One of the best of all time. No question. But 5-on-5, he disappears. You know, Subban talked about that last night during, I think it was the first intermission. You know, he singled out a guy like Kreider. And, you know, again, the bottom line here, Sal, is that we've seen now for three straight playoffs the core of this team and what they've done or really what they haven't done. And do you run it back? You know, it's that question we always talk about, right? Do you run it back? And I don't know if you can run it back, Sal. as much as it hurts, because we're talking about guys that we've become accustomed to, guys that we love, right?
Right.
They're blue shirts, but there's tough decisions here that are going to have to be made. And again, because of the big contracts and the salary cap issue, Drury's going to have to get creative. Also, don't forget, Sal, Igor's got 1 year left on a sweetheart deal that he signed, I guess, 3 years ago. Next year is the last year of his contract. He's got 1 year left at like $5.5 million.
So they're going to have to pay him. Yeah.
Right. You're going to have, like, this summer, you're not going to let Igor go into his final year. I don't think you're going to have to this summer pay Igor, and Igor is going to, right, he's going to be the highest paid goaltender in the NHL. My point is that whatever salary cap room you have, 50% of that money is going to go to Igor. So Drury's going to have to be creative here and figure some stuff out. Hey, the unrestricted free agents, the guys, you know, the Roslovic, Wenberg, Wheeler, etc., those guys are going to be gone. We know that. Those were one-year deals. They were rentals. Those guys would be gone. But Drury's going to have to figure something out here, Sal.
Yeah.
Because you know why? You're tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of feeling this way. All of us are tired of feeling this way. And I have to imagine that Chris Drury woke up this morning and figuring he's tired of feeling this way too.
I'm not going to say blow it up, but they need significant change.
Yeah.
And I think Chris Drury is going to do it. I trust him. I want to just ask you this before we leave. Did you believe, like deep down believe, this was the year?
Yes, I did.
Me too.
Sal, I really did. Today, and I didn't tell my wife this yet, I canceled hotel reservations I had made for Dallas and Edmonton. Okay. I was so depressed canceling those reservations now. But I really thought, here's the bottom line. You ready? So my wife, my son Dylan, and I, we traveled down for game three down to Sunrise last Sunday. Okay. If I would have said to you today that when we walked out of that building last Sunday that we would be celebrating the last Rangers win of the year, I would have said, you are crazy. And as it turned out, that was the last moment that Rangers Nation, all of us united in blue, celebrated. We had a 2-1 series lead after game three. We were feeling really good about ourselves. And I can't believe it's over, Sal. Like, there's such an empty feeling. And here's the thing too, like, all of our schedules have been based around the Rangers and their schedule. It's like, what am I going to do now the next few weeks? You know what I mean?
Watch Mets baseball.
Right. Watch the Mets. Right. But it's you know what I mean? It's like, wait, honey, we can't go there. The Rangers have a game. Or wait, no. Like, yeah. That's all I've been doing for the last 6 weeks. And truthfully, I thought it was going to be a couple of more weeks. Like, I really, you know, Sal, like, this year was so special. It felt so different, especially after game six in Carolina, the way they won that game. This one hurts. Like I said before, this really, really hurts, Sal. And here's the other thing, too. And you and I talked about this last year. If you remember, we were in the SNY newsroom. We talked about it. Now think about what we need to go through to get back to this moment, back to this point, right?
Like, it's deflating.
Right. It's like, oh, there's preseason and there's the 80 games and then the playoffs hit. And it's hard to believe. But that being said, I can't wait for opening night. You know why? Because I'm a lunatic. Right? I'm a lunatic, right? It's crazy, Sal. It's crazy. And here's the thing, too. Like, in the city today, I happened to notice I saw a lot of people still with their Rangers hats and their Rangers T-shirts. And there's something special when your team, you know, whether it's the Knicks or whether it's the Rangers, when they get on one of these runs, especially like in the springtime in the city, there's something special that brings us all together, galvanizes us, and you feel it, right? And you feel it, you feel it, you feel it. And now all of a sudden today it's over.
It's over.
It's over. And it's just, our salad hurts, man. I wish we could have done this in person so I could get a hug.
I was wearing, we usually have a group chat. It was silent last night. And then I finally got the text from Doug this morning. I'm heartbroken. I've been wearing, last night, my mother got me a shirt, party like it's 1994. I was wearing it all last night, all this morning as I'm doing,
It's so hard, Sal. And I know you were, listen, I know that you were gung ho and you were confident that they were going to win this series. They were going to win game six.
I believed it. My
older brother, Barry, he's a Ranger diehard like me. He lives in LA. We've been talking every day. And I said to him yesterday, I firmly believe that the Rangers somehow, some way, were going to win game six. And then I didn't know if they would win a game seven. I really didn't, you know, but because you know what happens when you get to game seven, anything could happen. But I really thought this team, the way it was made up and how special everything was this year, I really thought that they would at least get us to Monday night at the Garden and let's see what would happen from there. And we're never going to have that. And this one hurts. This hurts, Sal, you know, and, you know, it's one cup now going on 85 years.
Come on. Did you have to end with that?
I'm sorry, Sal. It's the truth. You know,
if we start hearing 1994 chants at some point soon, I don't know if I could handle that.
I don't know if I could handle it either because we thought that that was over.
We're not that far off from
that. You know, it's crazy. That's the thing. Like, we're doing it again. We're doing it again. Thank you so much for having me on. I feel like this has actually been therapy, Sal.
Right. I wanted to have this, hash this out with you and have our little therapeutic chat here. And hopefully Ranger fans watching or listening can also feel some sense of therapy as well. We appreciate it, Doug. Looking forward to next year. At least we have Igor. Your passion and knowledge with the Rangers, unmatched. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Anytime, Sal. See you in the SNY newsroom.
Looking forward to it. Doug Savchak, longtime producer at NBC, producer for Ancestors Show, currently with SNY. Most importantly, diehard New York Ranger fan, season ticket holder forever, bleeds blue, travels all over the place to follow his Rangers. Unfortunately, his calendar has been cleared. All right, that does it for us on this edition of WFAN Daily. Enjoy the rest of your whatever day you listen to this. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.